Now we're going to look at the first reading, which is from Acts 10. Remarkable text. Acts 10, as you know, is Peter's speech in Cornelius' house. Huh? He went because the Holy Spirit told him. He's a Jew, right? And the Holy Spirit saying, go into that Gentile's house and have a meal. A thing they never, never did. Remember, that was the big argument between Peter and Paul up in Antioch. And so that unclean, all the that big sheet with all the unclean animals, the voice said, Peter, go eat that. And he said, I can't do that. That's unclean. And God said, what I make clean, don't you call unclean. So now we're in this right now. He goes and to the house of Cornelius, as he was told, and he preaches the resurrection. And then, and that's where we start this text. Then Peter proceeded to speak and said, in truth, I see that God shows no partiality. There's no distinction anymore between Jew and Greek. Okay? Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. Then he goes on, you know the word that he sent to the Israelites as he proclaimed peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Lord of all, huh? What does that mean, huh? Panton Kyrios. He's God. See? What happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. When our Lord came out of that baptismal water, the Holy Spirit fell on him. And the Father said, this is my Son. And in that power, he went out in the desert and fasted for 40 days and bound the strong man and began to plunder his goods by his preaching, by his healing, by his good news, and ultimately by his death and resurrection, plundered. And Satan is no longer the master of this world. Jesus Christ is the master of this world. And Satan is bound. Ask any priest who does exorcisms. He can tell you. Satan is bound. Let's not let him out of the box by our own injustice, our own lack of living a Christian life. If we do, we can turn the world around. Okay. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. That's just the country, meaning the northern part. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, which is an allusion to a text in the Old Testament. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all the people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. You see, well, why didn't he just appear to everybody? Oh. Well, this is not a circus, for one thing. It's the dignity of being offered the truth and by the Holy Spirit, the power to embrace it. That's why. And so, he commissions us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as the judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name. This is that speech there that Peter gives when he sent to Cornelius' house, the Gentile. This is the breaking open of that enmity, as it says in the letter to the Ephesians, right? He has broken down the separating wall. It's quite a beautiful text. For he is our peace, he who made both one and broke down the dividing wall of enmity, is alluding to the wall at the temple. Nobody who's not a Jew can go beyond this point. Abolishing the law with his commandments and legal claims, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, thus establishing shalom. So this is what Peter is saying. Now I understand. Here are these Gentiles, and they're all praying in tongues. They're all worshiping God. The Holy Spirit has filled their hearts, their lives, and they're rejoicing. Now I'm going to go back to the root of that so that you can understand. And the root of this joy, this praise, this prayer in tongues, is Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. And so, here we are. This is exactly how, you know, now we're in chapter 10. This was the sign of the Holy Spirit back in chapter 1, right? They're all singing and praising in tongues and preaching in tongues, and everybody, you know, from wherever Mesopotamia, wherever they're from, they understand them in their own language. The Holy Spirit can make of division unity. And that's what it is. So now he's up in Cornelius's house and up in Antioch. And Peter is explaining what just happened to these people. Okay? Maybe I should read a little bit from Acts to help you out with that. See, the church takes this text because this is the text. You see, this is the movement out from Judaism. Paul will be the great preacher to the Gentiles, but it starts with Peter. Don't you call unclean what God has made clean by faith, purified their hearts through faith, okay? So he goes, and he's talking to them. And what happened, huh? They all began to praise God and pray in tongues. And so Peter says, well, then what's to stop them from being baptized? They have received the Holy Spirit just like we did. Now in chapter 10, he's giving that resume of that event, you see, and saying, this event, the resurrection, has changed everything. Everything. Flesh is no longer the dividing marker. There isn't any. All flesh is called to be transformed by the Holy Spirit and to live forever in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we're going to preach in his name. We're going to tell you about him so that you will believe in him and have new life. Now that's the text they pick for Easter. The full potential of the resurrection is a totally changed face of the earth, if we want it. And if we preach it, we Christians, tell everybody about this. And you don't have to go to Borneo to find people who don't believe. They're right in the grocery store. People have been, their faith has been stolen from them. And we have to help them get it back. It is so important so that this nation does not lie under judgment for having rejected what the Lord began here. Okay? So then, the psalm that follows that is this famous psalm, 118, huh? Hodahu l'Adonai kitov. Praise, yada there. It means praise, thank, acknowledge God. Acknowledge what God has done. Hodahu. Everybody acknowledge. This, it's thanksgiving, it's praise, it's enthusiasm, it's recognition, it's gratitude. This Psalm, 118. So, Hodahu l'Adonai ki tov. Now, does that mean give praise to the Lord for it is good to give that praise, or He is good? You can't tell from Hebrew. But it seems, because of what follows, the tov means God. Praise God. Sing praises. Give thanks. Acknowledge God, huh? Because He is good. And His hesed is unto the hidden time. Ki le'olam chasdo, which is a refrain. In fact, there's one whole psalm. You remember it, Psalm 135, 136, where, give praise to God for this. Ki le'olam chasdo. And finally, I mean, everything. He created the world because His mercy lasts forever. He gives food to all living creatures because His mercy endures forever. Ki le'olam chasdo. But it's a refrain. And it's a refrain in the heart of every believer. You see, God is always good. His mercy endures forever, is the way they translate it there in Psalm 136. You see. Give thanks to God. Hodu. Acknowledge who He is. You know, you can tell somebody who's growing in their Christian life, because they're always grateful. They understand what God has done for them, and they're grateful. And if they're grateful, they're happy, even when they're suffering. You know? That's a remarkable thing about very holy people. They're happy, even when things aren't going great. So, let Israel say that His hesed is forever. His loyalty to the covenant, His loyalty to His promises, His kindness. How do they translate it again over here? Kindness, yeah. Mercy. Mercy endures forever. That's true, you could do that, but you could see how much more it means. It's His hesed, this precious, precious word. Years ago, maybe 60, 70 years ago, a man by the name of Nelson Gluck wrote a book on hesed. Beautiful book. If you ever see it, get it and read it. It's great. What is hesed? It's God's loyalty to His promises, to His covenant. He's never going to go back on what He promised. Ever. And so that's what, see, His mercy endures forever. The Lord's right hand is raised. The Lord's right hand works valiantly. And then these words, they're skipping verses, of course. I shall not die but live and declare the deeds of the Lord. How many times did Jesus pray that? How many times in singing the Psalms, I shall not die but live, and knowing that He was going to pass through a horrid, painful death, but He would live, and so do we. And that's why it's here. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. They killed Him, but He's the foundation stone of the whole eternal edifice, okay? This has been done by the Lord, and it's wonderful in our eyes. It's nifalot, it's wonderful, it's glorious in our eyes. Amen.